explanation of what constitutes the darkness in the spiritual realm. Now I want to look at the contrast to this in chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 18. He's speaking now to a class of saints, for that they're called in the opening verses of this epistle. And what to characterize them saints, they were called, of course, saints. He tells us in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I was over in Davenport with my brother last Wednesday night for their meeting. I met a number of Christians that I had previously known, and some of these we had had the joy of bringing the gospel to and seeing clearly saved for eternity. But perhaps one of the, the youngest saints there, his name is James Lee. I met him in Centerville perhaps 3 or 4 years ago. He came to the home where we were staying with David Lawrence. He said, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to be saved tonight. Well, we said to him, James, there's one that's far more interested in reaching and saving you than you could possibly ever be in wanting to be saved yourself. We read a few passages from the Word of God as we felt led by the Holy Spirit. And again he interrupted by saying, it's all so dark. I just don't seem to be able to understand it. Well, we continued reading the Word of God. And again he'd say by interrupting, but it's all so dark to me. I can't see it. We finally read the 53rd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, beginning at verse 1, and we said, now, James, this is how light from God enters the soul. There are two questions in that first verse. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So that in hearing the report, in this wonderful chapter, prophetic of the sufferings of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, if that report is heard by you, and if that report is believed by you, the arm of the Lord will be outstretched in your salvation. So we read on. And when we had read verses 5 and 6, once again he interrupted. And you could see a change of expression in that countenance that spoke for itself. He said, it's all so clear. I now understand it. I see for the first time that God laid my sins upon his own dear Son, and that what should have been mine, he bore. And the truth of God, for you recall, the Scripture says, the entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding. So that in reality, the salvation of God is a revelation. It's a revelation in the power of the Spirit of Christ to a soul who is in darkness. Now, very briefly, I want to read in the Gospel by St. Luke chapter 19. And we won't get very far, but that isn't too important after all. However, I want to read the passage. Luke chapter 19, and we'll read at verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a pity there's a break there. If you happen to have a Scofield Bible, of course you notice that break in your Bible as well. But I think it's too bad that anything comes in between what we have in verse 10 and in the section that I hope to read to you. And I'll tell you why. And I think for the most part, many of God's dear children never seem to get beyond Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And perhaps can speak ever so glibly about definite conviction in the heart and in the soul. And perhaps describe days or nights of the anguish of soul prior to conversion to God. But after that great transaction has taken place, you might just as well have the division. That seems to be all. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, and he has saved me. And now I am heaven-born, and I am heaven-bound. I'm bound for the land of the pure and the holy, the land of the happy, yes, the kingdom of love. We're going to heaven because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But forget for the moment that break and read right on. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And so he sets them straight. Now it's only natural that God's earthly people that we were hearing about this morning from the second book of Chronicles, a people to whom God in a special way had revealed himself, and they had advantages over any people on the face of the earth. And certainly Paul, you recall in the third chapter of the epistle to the Romans, says, what advantage then hath the Jew? And then he immediately supplies the answer, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. But we were reminded this morning that they soon forget. And what had been committed to them, and what should have given them understanding, and they doubtless possessed it above all the nations round about them, it soon became lost to them, the Word of God. It had lost its power. It had lost its influence over their lives. And when the Word of God loses its power in your life, anything can happen. You know, Christianity is enjoying a conscious link with a living Christ, not upon the cross, but a living Christ yonder in the glory. And if that link is broken, now don't misunderstand me. We've had some precious truths from the family epistle this morning, the epistle of John. And certainly we all know that there is a difference, a vast difference between union and communion. You see, union speaks of that link we have with him, having been brought into his family by the exercise of simple faith in the merits of his person and his work. So that gives us a link. An indissoluble link. And we could say truthfully, God's child and forever I am. And that's a precious, precious truth. And that link, let me say, can never be severed. But you know, we sustain another link that is so easily broken. And that is our communion with him. And I tell you, I'm led to believe that there are many of us who live through our lives here. I'm speaking now our Christian lives. and we live as orphans, as though we had no link whatsoever with our Father in heaven, with all that has been provided, and with all that is so liberally laid into our hands and at our disposal. We live like men and women round about us. We so soon become earth grovelers, and we forget that we belong to Him. And we are told, as Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, for Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And then we're told, your life is hid with Christ in God. Then when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. Now I want the other side of the truth for just a little bit that I hope we can press. You see, there's a definite connection between verse 10 and what we have read and what we're going to read. Now in verse 12 he said, therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now this of course was anticipated when it was spoken. Our Lord was then here upon earth, but He's telling them what's going to happen. Just as He puts it in the 14th chapter of St. John, I'm going to leave you, I'm going to heaven. And so He speaks of a nobleman, a certain nobleman, that goes into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, during my absence, you who have experienced the truth of verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He immediately brings before them the highest possible privilege or privileges that could be put into the hands of any clay mortal saved by the grace of God. You see, the night God saved my soul, I ceased to be my own. Maybe I didn't know it, and I don't know very much yet, and I feel I know less every day I live. But listen, I ceased to be my own. I was brought to know Him as my Savior, and perhaps since to know Him a little as my Lord and the one who has the power, or should have the power, over my life. There's a change. Conversion to God, I tell you, is a reality. And it isn't so manifest in our days. Now, I certainly wouldn't want to become an old crab as I get a little older. I'd like to get old the natural way. I'd like to become more mellow if I can. And I love my brethren, one and all. And I love my younger brethren who take part in conference meeting. So I'm not speaking of it in that way. But we all must notice. It's noticeable everywhere. So many conversions and so little reality. So little of having a conscious link with that one who is yonder at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And my life perhaps has not been completely transformed. I belong, maybe we can sing it, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. But what about my action? What about my behavior? Now in the passage, and I think I should read a little further down, he said in verse 13, that's during the absence and until he comes back again, he called his 10 servants. Now this is not only privilege but responsibility, and I want to stress both sides. Privilege and responsibility. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until you die. But he didn't say that, did he? Occupy till I come. And if you lose sight of that, his coming, well, there's no telling what might happen. But if you really believe that he might come today and you'd be put out of office or the place of privilege and responsibility instantaneously and automatically, I tell you, it would put strength in your ankle bones today. And I believe those words in the family epistle once again, which tells us in the 3rd chapter of 1 John, he that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. I'd become more Christ-like and I'd lose my interest. Many of them I seem to have for things here, and they're only things. And all that is in the world, says John, will pass away. He that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Now what are you going to do the little while you're here? Are you going to spend and be spent for the world and for the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and of course it all passes away? Or are you going to spend and be spent for him? He that doeth the will of my Father abideth forever. Oh, God, stir us up today, young Christians, older Christians. May we be kept from losing heart. May we be kept from departing from him. And I believe if we have one need above every other need, it was emphasized this morning already, we need restoration, don't we? The speaker needs restoration in his soul to the Lord. He restoreth my soul, and I need it every day, and maybe many times a day, restoration to himself. Now, we get the attitude of men and women that are all around us. That's indicated in verse 14. The Lord knew what would be the behavior of men and women in the world. And so he said in verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's the answer of the world today to the Lord of glory, who sent his Son into the world and later sent the Holy Spirit of God into the world. This is the answer. We'll not have this man to reign over us. Ah, we say, Lord, take the reins in my life. Rule my life. Let it be holy, consecrated, Lord, to thee. I want to be for you the little while I'm here. But read further. And it came to pass that when he was returned, where he's coming, having received the kingdom, he's going to get it, the everlasting kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. What a solid portion of the Word of God. Now, I want to say a little about responsibility and privilege as well. You will note that in verse 12, he tells them that he's going into a certain country, into a far country. He's far, far from us, but so near to faith. And then to receive for himself a kingdom. Then he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, I admit that there is a difference between the pounds of Luke chapter 19 and the talents of Luke chapter 5. You see, in Luke chapter 19, there is an equal distribution. There's no difference whatsoever. He calls to him 10 servants and When he calls his 10 servants, he delivers to them 10 pounds. No difference whatsoever. And you know, there is in the Word of God what we call the common property of all believers. Doesn't make any difference. That soul that was saved in Chicago last Tuesday night, she began with a commitment from God to her. 10 pounds, at least pictured in the little portion before us. And that man who perhaps has passed through the deepest, most sincere soul exercise for perhaps days and weeks and months and years, and then finally God reached down and saved his soul, and what a great deliverance. In one sense, they begin exactly alike. The commitment, 10 pounds. You know, 10 in the Word of God is a very important number. In fact, numbers in Scriptures, again and again, are very important. We can't take the time to notice them other than perhaps, say, the number 3, number 7, number 10, number 12, and we could tell you what these mean, but 10, I shall say, speaks of the full measure of responsibility, as indicated in the 10 commandments. It emphasizes my full responsibility, first of all, Godward, in those first 4 commandments, and in the last 6, the full measure of my responsibility to man. You know, when God saves me, I am free, all right, and if the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But I am free to serve Him. I want to serve Him. Well, anyway, getting to the point, what is it that God has given us, each one alike, at our conversion? Well, certainly He has given us His Son. You know, the Word of God says in John's epistle, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Yes, and we can thank God we do have His Son. That one who gave Himself for us is giving Himself now to us. And that ought to interest us, everyone. Yes, He died for me. He's living for me yonder in the glory. He that spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And so it is His desire that Christ should be the object of my heart, and He is. He's the altogether lovely one. He's the chiefest among 10,000. There's none like Him. I tell you, He is beyond compare, the Son of God. And I can tell you the only moments of real joy and delight in my heart. Of course it began the night of my conversion, when I trusted Him, when the heart's door was opened and I bid the Savior enter in. I tell you, I found a true friend then. I could say I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. And He'll never let me go. He loves me even when I stray. He's mine. He's mine forever. I wish I could say more about that. He ought to become more precious to me every day I live. I find as I get just a little bit older, there are a great many things I can do without. And I do without now. I don't need. As once perhaps I might have. But I tell you, I need Jesus. I can't do without Him. I cannot live. I cannot live unless I'm conscious of the fact He has a little place in my heart and in my life. Oh, that there was more room for Him, that I might learn to know Him better, that I might learn to love Him more. He's coming so soon. And then there is another gift that each believer, and I speak of them just using the term, it's common to all Christians. The moment I ventured my all for eternity on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, something happened that night. The Spirit of God took up His abode in my life, and I became in possession of the Holy Spirit. Maybe I should read you one verse. I think the time is gone. I have about 3 minutes after one. I still have Chicago time too, Bill, and I left there on Tuesday, the same day you did, or Wednesday. So, if you're getting hungry, why, you're going by my watch. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will, just for a moment. I think it'd be more precious than some of the things that I might say. 2 Corinthians, and if I'm not mistaken, I hope I'm not, we'll look at chapter 1, verse 20. All the promises of God in Him are yea and amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Now listen to this. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Doesn't make any difference who that man, that woman, that boy, or that girl is. When the heart's open, Christ enters. The Holy Spirit of God enters. And we are told here and has given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I wish I could enlarge upon that just a little bit, but time forbids. And then there has been a third gift given to us that we should treasure. And I'll ask you to turn now for a moment to the Gospel by St. John, chapter 17, to the Lord's Prayer. The 17th chapter, of course, verse 6 is really and truly conversion. I don't think there's any question about that. But look down to about verse 8, if you will. And I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I am come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now let's go down to about verse 13, I think it is, 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, the scripture might be fulfilled. And then he tells in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. Now, this is to occupy me. Christ in my heart, the Holy Spirit of God, leading, controlling, and empowering me from day to day in my service for Him. And then this blessed holy book, oh, that has brought light to so many hearts. I'm speaking now of Christians even, those who have been saved by grace divine. What a comfort we found in the Word of God. Maybe when we couldn't see very clearly and our pathway seemed so dim, but when we turned to Himself, sought by the power of the Spirit of God to learn the secrets of His heart, His mind for us, we found the answer in the Word of God. And I'm glad and I'm happy to be able to tell you this morning for all eternity, we're going to be learning the wonders of what we should be learning a little about here and now. You be ashamed of yourself. Speaker, be ashamed of yourself. When you think of all that God has given to occupy you till He come, your life should be one of triumph all the way through. Surely He's able to do above all that we ask or think. And then the solemn note as we close. The speaker who gave you this little message this morning is going to have to give an account. I'll have to stand in His presence one day as one to whom God has given, and you too, His Son, His Spirit, His Word, And then I doubt not my head would bow in his presence. O God, how could I ever have failed you? May stir our hearts that we might be on the tiptoe of expectation. Just a little while, he that shall come will come and will not